Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
We're back with another one of these fucking things.
I know. This, do you know what? This is, again, one of those WrestleManias that I slightly watch it and think, oh, are we going to have much to talk about? But actually, as you oddly, the boring matches, maybe it's just I think more when I'm watching them and you
yes,
think more.
Yeah.
Whereas if when they're really good, you're just like, ah. Oh.
No, I think when they're really, when they're really good, they are more. When they're really bad, there's more to chew over. Mm. When they are middling, like the main event in this one.
Yeah.
Very little to talk about.
It's quite funny, actually, because you sort of realise with that like rule of thumb, there are very, very few middling matches at WrestleMania. They're either, they either tank or they're good, perfectly decent.
Yeah.
That main event is a catastrophe I had to watch it about four times. I couldn't.
It's just like
it just
kind of, it was like a stereogram. You know, when he's like 3D pictures. You're like, I don't know what I'm watching here.
Completely. I mean, you know, thank God they weren't just dressed the fucking same as well. we've got up to I think it's about match number 3-4 if you include the dark match.
Was Kid Rock a match?
Yeah.
Well, it was an endurance match. I know that much for me.
Absolutely. Mm. I mean, the guy is filth. next match, Chris Jericho versus Jimmy Snuka, Roddy Piper, and Ricky Steamboat with Ric Flair. I loved this match so much. I can't tell you.
I
love it.
How good was Steamboat in this?
That was the big brilliant part of it. That was the great piece of booking. And like everything in WWE, that was entirely a bit of fluky chance.
Right, okay, that he could still do it. And he did an arm drag. I was like, fucking hell, that was amazing.
He's amazing. The setup for this match is unique in that it comes out of the film The Wrestler.
The Darren Aronofsky
2009 huge at the time.
Yeah.
A film starring Mickey Rourke.
Was it Oscar winner? Did Mickey Rourke win
an
Oscar?
He won a Golden Globe.
Golden Globe.
And he was Oscar nominated, but he was throughout the favourite to win the Oscar.
Yeah.
And he didn't, and it's slightly because of this WrestleMania. but what happens is Darren Aronofsky comes up with the idea of The Wrestler, which is about a guy called Randy the Ram Robinson. Mm. The idea is they're going to do, and it is the first wrestling movie that sort of showed it with a bit of heart.
Yeah.
It didn't just have that thing of going, you know, it's silly or it's, you know, like a, you know, a bad Rocky rip-off, or it's just about, you know, people being crazy. Mm. This was an attempt to go, what's it actually like?
Pain pills, knee problems, and living out your van.
Yeah, and also hanging on too long. And that becomes a really sort of key part of this WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So, weirdly, Darren Aronofsky actually originally had this, he did Black Swan as well.
Right, yeah.
And Black Swan and this were originally the same film. And it was about a professional wrestler having a sort of impossible relationship with a very sort of like, you know, precious ballet dancer.
Right.
That high class, low class. And I read this thing where it was saying it was a Lady and the Tramp style trope of high class sophistication meeting lowbrow entertainment.
And he managed to separate it into two films, both of which are very, very different.
Yeah, I would say the Lady and the Tramp style trope of high class sophistication meeting lowbrow entertainment that Darren Aronofsky found beyond him is perfectly encapsulated in this podcast WrestleMania.
I think so.
There are no Oscars for podcasts, not yet.
Not yet.
But when they are, they'll look back on the ones that should have won it, and in 2020 certainly should have been.
Yeah, I did spend last week putting together our British Podcast Award entry, and it was emotionally draining because
I can
guarantee, know for a fact, the person who's going to be listening to it going,
if I was in the British Podcast Awards, when I see it in the paper, I don't want people going, "Ugh, they sound really dirty because they have a wrestling podcast as one." Right? I don't want that.
No.
So, I mean, guys, thank you very much. You should not have put the £25 deposit on that.
Yeah, give us it back.
Mickey Rourke.
Give it to Peter Crouch and give us it back.
Oh, they'll give it to Peter Crouch.
Is Crouchy going to turn up? Is he? He never does.
They will ring. Maybe Peter would like to come along, they'll say. And they'll go, "Well, Peter's not going to come along unless he," and they'll go, "Oh, wink, wink, wink."
If you ever see someone that's a little bit too famous for an awards due, they're winning the fucking award.
I'll tell you what, though, last time they had the podcast awards, right. Maybe the time before, they'd asked Fern Cotton down. Fern Cotton sat in the front row, and she presented an award and everything. And let me tell you, when she didn't win one, I could tell how many more she was nominated for, because she was straight out of the fucking door.
The Uber was a purring.
Absolutely. Mickey Rourke has the greatest role that he's ever done. He's suddenly in the forefront of the Oscars talk, and he is very grateful to this film, and he's very grateful to wrestling as a whole. Mm. So he started really enjoying it. He was saying, "I gained respect for a sport I knew nothing about."
Right.
In the film itself, he does most of the in-ring performances himself. He even blades. And there's an interesting part of he had to put on 27 pounds of muscle to play this sort of once great American hero who is now coming to the end of a career that he should have left a long time ago. Mm. And has ended up with nothing. It is a traditional pro wrestling story.
Yeah.
It's not the one normally told. It's the one that's normally lived. And he had to put on 27 pounds worth of muscle. And there was always debate about whether or not he had taken steroids to get to the level that he got for this movie.
Yeah.
Well, that suggestion is sort of answered by the fact that originally Nicolas Cage was slated to play the role of Randy the Ram.
Right.
And Nicolas Cage had been to Ring of Honor. He went to see some live wrestling shows. He then was trained a little bit by one of the Wild Samoans, AFA, ready for the role. And the thing that stopped him, he said years later, he said, "I couldn't get the physique that was necessary without chemical enhancement."
It's just not.
Yeah, so he
in
said
very small letters.
So that's why he withdrew from the film, because he said, "I'm not going to take steroids.
Yeah.
I'm not going to start taking steroids to do this movie role." So Mickey Rourke ended up with the role, and he denies taking steroids. He said,
didn't need a blade, mate. I've already got wounds from my many cosmetic surgeries.
56, what could be easier than putting on nearly 3 stone of muscle. Pure muscle? What could be easier? I cannot lose 2 fucking pounds, right? Those days are over.
I stopped doing a radio show in the evening. I put on about 4 pounds, just like that.
Just from having one tin of Coke. It's got a lot of wrestlers in it, the film, because they wanted Veritas. Interesting sort of spread of people as well. So they had Johnny Valiant, Ron Killings, who is better known as R-Truth, who is currently a big WWE star.
Right.
Blue Meanie, Cesaro.
Oh.
John Zandig, Austin Aries, Ernest the Cat Miller, who plays the sort of arch-villain of Randy the Ram, the Ayatollah. A lot of the parts of it, the bits set in combat zone wrestling where Randy the Ram has a death match against Necro Butcher, another genuine wrestler, that was filmed in the old ECW arena. Oh. So there was lots of sort of proper wrestling touches to it. I think the scenes that most people remember best are the ones of them sort of, you know, the old broken down guys signing their 8x10s in a high school gym, which of course is still very much
part of the gym,
part of the business. Mm. You know, I mean, you just have to really throw your mind back to Virgil, you know, flogging those 8x10s in the subway. I mean, there is not a lot of provision for former wrestlers. Mm. Anyway, what happens is they have the premiere. Obviously, they invite some old wrestlers along. There's some great photos of Mickey Rourke with Greg Valentine, Brutus the Barber, Beefcake and Roddy Piper. They are having the time of their lives. They've been invited to a premiere. They have no idea that this film is about husks like them. And they probably watch it and they go, "That I'm so glad that didn't happen to me." I mean, anyway, but obviously this comes out. Mickey Rourke, the wrestler, Oscar buzz. So Vince McMahon is very much interested in this. And he talks to Mickey Rourke. And they agree that he's going to do a match at WrestleMania. Mickey Rourke is not just an actor. He'd done a lot of boxing.
Yeah.
So he'd actually had sort of remarkable. He was undefeated in 8 fights. He had 6 wins, 4 by knockouts and 2 draws. And whether or not they were sending him, you know, tomato cans, you know, or hand-picked opponents, he was still knocking them down, even if they were paid. I mean, it's still physical. So there was no reason why he wouldn't have been able to do wrestling. Chris Jericho was the person that they earmarked as his opponent. But I think because Jericho is a big star wrestler, yeah. and a good wrestler, yeah. and also a professional guy. What happens is Jericho is at home one night, and his cousin texts him saying, "Why is Mickey Rourke at the SAG Awards, the Screen Actors Guild? Why is he at the SAG Awards on the red carpet saying that he's going to kick your ass?" Right? So Jericho says, I don't really know what's going wrong. What's happening? Yeah. So he contacts Vince McMahon. And Vince McMahon says, "You're going to have a match with Mickey Rourke at WrestleMania." And Jericho is excited. He goes, I think this guy could probably do it. Yeah. I can get something out of him. Mm. He's physical enough that this is going to work. And as soon as Mickey Rourke did that at the Screen Actors Guild, his agents went absolutely nuts with him.
Mm.
And they were like, "What are you doing?
You've ruined your comeback effectively.
You are an actor, not a wrestler."
Yeah.
And now what you're essentially sending the message out is you're going, "No, I want to get into wrestling."
Mm.
Well, you're supposed to be an actor.
Yeah.
And they said to him, "There is absolutely no way you're going to be doing a match at WrestleMania, full stop."
Right.
Absolutely done. So Mickey Rourke has to start backpedaling. He doesn't tell anyone for a couple of weeks. Jericho goes on to Larry King Live. And they do a sort of a face. They're on split screens, but they have a joint conversation with Larry King. And Jericho thinks they're having a match at WrestleMania.
Right.
So he spends the whole time going, essentially playing his heel role, saying, "I don't respect you at all. I don't respect what you do. I think you're pathetic. You wouldn't last a moment in the ring." Now, Mickey Rourke is a former boxer and quite a sort of like street tough. Hears all this and it drives him up the fucking wall. And he's furious. He's absolutely furious. He says again and again, he said, "You know, when I heard these things, I come from a background where if you say this, that means I'm going to have to punch you in the face." So Jericho is doing all this. Mickey Rourke is furious, absolutely furious. And it comes out, he has to come forward and say, his agents say to him, "You're not going to be doing this."
Mm.
And he has to come forward and say, "Unfortunately, the insurers of Iron Man, the film I'm going to be in, will not let me take part right. in wrestling." So it all falls apart. Now, Jericho is left without a match, but Vince McMahon says, "Well, what we should do is we should have you in a gauntlet match, and I want it to be against essentially three real-life The Wrestler wrestlers."
Yeah.
He says, "So I want three people who are in the Hall of Fame.
Mm.
I want all three of them to have been at WrestleMania 1, because obviously this is the 25th anniversary in the 24th year." And he gives a list of who it's going to be.
Yeah.
Jimmy Snuka, Roddy Piper, and Greg Valentine. And Jericho hears the list and he says, "This is going to be a bit of a nightmare." He says, because there's no one there.
No one can go.
No one can go.
Yeah.
He said, "God bless all of them. But at the time, none of them could do anything. Piper was limited, Snuka could hardly walk, and Valentine never did anything. Not that I couldn't adapt, but I wanted it to work. I told Vince, this match is not going to be good." He said, "It's not supposed to be good, it's an attraction." So Jericho begins saying, can we not swap out Greg Valentine, and can we have Jerry Lawler? Can Jerry Lawler come in? And Vince says, "No, he wasn't at WrestleMania 1. So he goes, "Oh, Christ, okay." So they look through this very narrow list of wrestlers. And one of them is Ricky Steamboat.
Mm.
Now, Ricky Steamboat hasn't wrestled for 15 years. He had terrible back problems in WCW, retired in 1994. He pretty much disappeared from the scene after that. But for the last couple of years, he'd been working as a producer and agent in WWE behind the scenes. And he'd actually asked if he could have a match at WrestleMania 22 against Ric Flair.
Right.
And they'd gone, "No."
Yeah.
Of course not. No.
This doesn't make any sense.
No, exactly. And what happened with Ricky Steamboat is Ricky Steamboat was one of the great performers in the business. He was always a babyface, never a bad guy. And he was renowned for his speed, his fluidity, and his crispness. The three matches he had with Ric Flair in 1989 were for years seen as the greatest wrestling matches of all time. They are masterpieces. And he was just always one of the greatest in-ring performers. He's been away for 15 years. And what they do with this match so cleverly is when they have them in the ring, they bring out Snuka, and Snuka is 68. He's the oldest man to ever have a match at WrestleMania.
Mm.
When he comes out, he looks like a South American mummy. You know, he is just terrifying looking.
Look awful.
He looks so bad. He looks like a sort of shrunken head. It's just weird. He looks like an old woman cosplaying as Jimmy Snuka. It's all wrong.
He looks like he's got like 70 pixels, like he looks pixelated, and every second pixel is either red
or
burned.
Exactly that. If they'd have said, "So, you know, kids, do you want to meet the real man that Pirate LeChuck is based
yeah,
on?"
Yeah, he looks like the ghost Pirate LeChuck, yeah.
Man, oh man. Roddy Piper comes out, and Roddy Piper, He doesn't look bad, but he no longer looks like Roddy Piper.
No.
He's got a funny big fat belly. His legs are really thin. He's had both his hips replaced.
Yeah.
And we've seen over the years that every time he's had a comeback, it's been a disaster. And he just cannot go anymore.
And he was never an incredible wrestler, was he?
So Steamboat is the one that no one has seen in 15 years.
Yeah.
So nobody knows what Steamboat's capable of. And I do remember the build-up to this match, because I was thinking, wouldn't it be amazing if Steamboat comes out and he's barely lost a step? And what they do is they go through Snooker and Piper, and then out comes Steamboat, and he and Jericho wrestle for 35 minutes, and it just blows the roof off the place. It didn't quite happen like that, but I was amazed that the WWE got this match so right.
Yeah.
And if anything, all they did was they underestimated how good Steamboat would be. And so rather than give him essentially 20 minutes, they give him about 9 before Jericho finally beats him. It is not a great match, but it is one of those ones that bit where Steamboat comes in and the crowd suddenly go, holy shit, this is not what we expected. With Steamboat going and knowing his backstory of being away for so long,
yeah,
and just watching him have one more night where everything is going to plan. He was always very, very hard on himself about this match. He sort of went, I look back on it and I didn't enjoy it at all because I can see I've lost a step and things like that. But actually, I mean, on that night, that was, apart from the Undertaker match, the only match that people seemed legitimately excited about the prospect of, will Steamboat actually win?
Yeah.
And he does this beautiful, classic Ricky Steamboat series of moves. And there's those deep arm drags that are just, you know, astonishing. Mm. And for someone like Jericho, this must have been the realization of a bit of a dream, you know, that you're in the ring with Ricky Steamboat, you know, the ultimate face. And he is just able to wrestle, and it's beautiful. The problem with this match, I think, is, you know, once the sort of Steamboat bit, you sort of knew he couldn't win. It's not going to suddenly happen. I mean, the Snooker and the Piper bits are actually almost uncomfortable to watch. Snooker does a chop and almost falls over. I mean, that is not good.
He was still wrestling right until he died.
Oh, he was. He dies 8 years after this, and of course, in the 7 years after this, he has this. This 1981 murder case really comes back. He's charged with, I think it's third-degree murder and involuntary manslaughter of a lady called Nancy Argentino, who was his on-the-road girlfriend, who you have to give him the benefit of the doubt. He died without being found guilty. But certainly everything pointed towards the fact that he murdered her through and had been a sort of abusive partner over many, many years.
Yep.
He was cleared of those because of dementia. They didn't proceed with the case while he was alive. And I think within something like 17 days of them saying there is no point us trying to prosecute him, he was dead.
Yep.
He died of stomach cancer. I actually did find a little thing. There was always a bit of a question about this because WWE by this point had been through the problem with Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
And so they...
I was surprised to see him, to be honest. I was a bit like, oh.
Yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
They should have been more aware of this. And instead, when Snooker died, they put out a, he was one of the greats, you know, long touching memorial video.
Right.
It's still up on YouTube. It's worth watching. It's worth going to that page, especially because they have not disabled the comments. There are so many that are sort of idiotic that I love. And there's lots of people just saying, why has this man, who is clearly guilty of a murder, you know, why are you celebrating him in this way? A lot of people also going, oh, well, I mean, if he can stay in the Hall of Fame, then why don't you put Benoit in the Hall of Fame? You know, why do you care?
What?
Why do you fucking care? I just had a look at this and it really did make me laugh. The number of people who cannot get the word Superfly right. R.I.P. Superflyer, Jimmy Snooker. Superflyer. Our one man said, I met him in real life. He was an awesome guy. I remember he asked me if I love tigers and I said yes. Nate Vlogs says, I meet Jimmy once at a Legends of the Ring and my dad was friends with him. My dad even has his stepdaughter's phone number.
Whoa!
Doctor Who Dalek said, when Jimmy Snooker gets to heaven, Roddy Piper will smash his head with a coconut. Which I liked. Stone Cold Fan, I had the pleasure of meeting him. True gentleman. I gave him a wood cross handmade by a Native American. R.I.P. Jimmy Snooker. Caitlin Hodges says, what's with the sad, depressing music? I mean, I know he died, but the song makes it even more depressing. Gamer Killer says, forget about the fact he killed somebody. It's really sad to hear a legend pass away. And there's a couple of my favourite. R.I.P. Superfly. Thank you, Jimmy Snooker. From every WWE fan at BCA College in Maidenhead, England. We will miss you.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And Parker Lerat, he sums it up by saying, R.I.P. Superbly Jimmy Snooker.
Superbly.
Just one letter.
Superbly. Just that's an autocorrect, but a beautiful correct.
Superbly Jimmy Snooker.
You are and remain superbly Jimmy Snooker.
Roddy Piper in this is 56, which seemed old at the time, but now current world champion is Goldberg. Who is 53.
How's that happened now? Is that the Saudi Arabia thing?
It is, yeah. Right. I mean, Goldberg is they've found it very difficult to make stars, clearly, because someone from 20 years ago still being at the top of the heap, at the age, you know, 3 years younger than Piper was in this thing where Piper is, he looks like a pensionable woman. He's sort of gone a bit, you know how some people get a bit old and it can be women or men and they sort of, you lose what sex they are because they're just an old person.
Oh, see, Fig One, Mickey Rock.
Yes, that's like, true. Although
he's done a lot of work on himself.
He has. Piper's got that thing where he's sort of got to an age where he's no longer of a sex. Mm. He's just an old person.
Everyone, it's like when people tweet like Hulk Hogan pictures of Paul Weller and Ronnie Wood saying, my aunties really love you. Yeah. And he'll always get a retweet for it.
Very true. Steamboat does end up actually having a short run after this, where he ends up doing a couple more matches with Chris Jericho.
Lovely.
So the next night on Raw, I think he's in a six-man, and then at the next pay-per-view after this, they have a match, which is really decent. Mm. And it was a nice little comeback. He did odds and ends, you know, on camera until 2010, he was on television to promote his DVD about his career.
Right.
And they brought in the Nexus, who were then a big heel group, and they beat him down. And the WWE went, oh, he's got terrible neck injuries as a result of the Nexus. But he came back in and went, actually, I have got terrible neck injuries as a result of this. And they took it off the website. They're like, Steamboat's been married 5 times as well.
Yeah. Well, look. Yeah.
Steamboat, more like Love Boat. I wrote that very late last night, very tired. And then out comes Mickey Rourke from the crowd.
Yeah.
When Chris Jericho is running his mouth,
calling him out, saying you are a fake and a phony and an old man, and you're celebrating something that shouldn't be celebrated.
Yep,
men getting old in a business that doesn't respect their humanity,
like these three, who some reason think they're in. On the inside of this, but actually they are very much on the outside because they're being used once and they will not come back.
Yeah.
And part of the reason that originally Vince McMahon didn't want Ricky Steamboat to do it is he specifically wanted Greg Valentine because he wanted three people who had held on too long.
Right. Okay,
Steamboat hadn't because of injury.
Yeah.
So he wanted losers. Mm. He wanted the men in the ring to be the people the audience would just go, ugh.
Well, Flair was there, I suppose, wasn't he?
Yeah, slightly. You know, it's a bit heartbreaking. But out comes Mickey Rourke, does this punch, and it's a boxer's punch rather than a wrestler's punch.
Yeah.
It's not particularly, you know, visual.
But boxers' punches just don't work. They look shit.
They do. What had happened the day before is that the legends got together with Chris Jericho and they'd gone through the match and you know, they'd worked it out. But they had to go through with Mickey Rourke about the punch. And like we've seen with some other people, Mickey Rourke's first impression about WWE is they would try and in some way humiliate him and go back on what they'd agreed.
Yeah.
So when he turned up, he still fucking hated Jericho as a result of that Larry King thing. He turned up with Frank Shamrock, a UFC fighter.
Yeah.
And also the
so many Shamrocks in UFC that have crossed over or appeared at WrestleMania.
The odd story behind that is he is the brother of Frank Shamrock and Ken Shamrock, who was a WWE star. Though they are not blood brothers, they were all adopted by a guy whose surname was Shamrock, who basically used to run an MMA gym. And he adopted these boys in great numbers.
I'll get the biggest boys.
I'm going to get a Shamrock army. But Frank Shamrock turns up with Mickey Rourke. Mickey Rourke has paid for Frank Shamrock and two other fighters to accompany him at all times in all his dealings with WWE.
Right.
So Jericho gets to the ring and a PR comes up to him and she says, oh, I just talked to Mickey Rourke. He's here. He goes, oh, great. He said, yeah, he's absolutely mad with you. He's got a real problem with you. So Jericho, in his book, he said, if you're a PR, why aren't you smoothing this over? Like, why are you just coming up and saying he hates me? So Jericho gets to the ring. Rourke is there with his UFC fighters. And Jericho just walks over to him, gives him a big hug, says, you know, can't wait to do this, cannot wait. And he says, Mickey Rourke just tenses and he cannot wait to get away.
Right.
Jericho says his face was oddly puffy and with his dyed black goatee, gold front tooth and slight hint of BO, he reminded me of an older Jack Sparrow.
Yes.
He also looked tough as shit and ready to snap. He was not the kind of guy I wanted on my bad side, especially since I was supposed to be taking a punch from him the next day. So he begins talking to Mickey Rourke and he says, look, I hear you're upset about the Larry King thing. He said, I don't disrespect you. I don't think you're worth it. He said, I was in character. I thought we were going to have a match. He said, so what I was doing, he said, I was acting like that. And Mickey Rourke.
Having explained acting to him.
Won a Golden Globe for Best Actor for portraying a pro wrestler. Yeah. He's an Oscar nominated for that. He said, you're telling me that even though I'm the one who got nominated for an Oscar, you out-acted me. And then he laughed and the tension dissipated.
Right.
He said, I brought these three guys and basically if there was any problems, I was just going to ask them to beat the shit out of you. And Jericho said to him, look, you did not need to bring three of them. One of them would have been fine. So they're getting on really well. Vince McMahon comes down to the ring, sees the two of them getting on there. And Jericho goes over to Vince and says, he's brought those guys to basically beat the shit out of me if anything goes wrong. And Vince immediately says, are you kidding me? Those guys? He motioned at Dean Malenko and Fit Finlay, who were talking at ringside. You, me, Finlay, and Malenko would have beat the shit out of them. I mean, look at that one guy. He's a midget. That was Frank Shamrock, who was sort of one of the greatest MMA fighters of his era. I smiled at Vince and I said, well, if anything goes down, I'll take Mickey Rourke and you can take the midget. Damn right I will, said Vince, and he swaggered out of the ring. Frank Shamrock has talked about this over the years as well, and he said it was a wonderful time.
Right.
He said they were all ready for it to be a problem, he said, but he was also a huge fan of WWE, and he said he was just like a little kid the whole time. He was so excited to be there. And again, that's really, really nice. He said it was pretty neat. which is really sweet. So this match, as I say, it's a number of things. It's a funny thing for, I don't think the WWE these days would get behind in a promotional thing with a film that shows the bad side of wrestling.
No.
What they can do, of course, is they can say, well, yes, but that's not WWE, that's everyone else. And that's what they did at this time. But when you bring out those old legends who are broken down, who can't really perform anymore, and you bring them out solely to go, look, it's just like in that film that you like by Darren Aronofsky, I think you're talking to quite a narrow audience there. I didn't enjoy watching this match back as much as I enjoyed it, the surprise of it, seeing it you know, go out live. But it was a pleasure to see Ricky Steamboat. We're going to be starting a new project.
New project.
Fairly soon.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we are going to be doing is we're going to be seeing some of the Ricky Steamboat matches from when he was in his prime. And cool. You are in for a delightful treat.
Yeah.
Really are.
Love your job. Yeah, more on that as soon as we can bring it to you, but it won't be very long.
Yeah.
It'll be April.
Yeah. worth saying as well, one sign I saw during this match, the perfect vintage retro sign, it just said, put that cigarette out.
Oh, nice.
Great.
Lovely old job. That is right up our strata, quite frankly.
You know it. Have we got time to do one more
Let's
match?
Let's do one more match.
Okay, Jeff Hardy versus Matt Hardy in an Extreme Rules match. One of those matches sounds like a dream match. Oddly, in wrestling, brother versus brother matches are notoriously tricky to get anyone to care about.
Right.
It's a really weird thing. It happened recently with AEW Cody versus Dustin Rhodes. But there's something odd about it where, because we know they're brothers, I think people have a double sort of problem with it. One is you go, well, obviously, they're not going to really try and hurt each other, even though, you know, it's predetermined.
Yes.
You're going, they're not really going to try and hurt each other because they're brothers.
Mm.
And the other thing that you're doing on the other side is going, I don't want to see a family fight.
Yeah.
It's the two weird things.
And they've been a legendary tag team forever.
Yeah.
You know,
and fucking Jim Ross in the middle of it starts talking about the fact their mum died when they were really young.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, they need to hold on to each other.
They don't need to be burning down each other's houses and killing their dogs.
They need unity. Think of their father. Their father who has brought them up. To see this, it would break
Mr. Shamrock.
This match, again, it's one of those ones I remember there was excitement about beforehand.
Yeah.
And afterwards, everyone was like, it didn't sort of work.
No.
The problem as well is the two brothers. Jeff Hardy is always the bigger of the two, the bigger star. People like him more. And there's a thing here where if Jeff Hardy had just beaten Matt Hardy, then, well, that was as expected.
Mm.
And if Matt Hardy beats Jeff Hardy, everyone goes, oh, the less good one won. So it's a flat end either way. And that's what it turns into.
Even like the kind of like promo before, like he's got, everybody likes you. You're the popular ones.
Heartbreaking. Yeah. Matt's the one who loves this.
Yeah.
Jeff would rather be releasing albums by Peroxy Wygen.
On his motorbike, doing motocross.
Paintings of the demons and the muses of the creativity in his own. I mean,
and popping the pills.
Just stick to what you're good at, boys. Stick to what you're good at.
Face paint.
Jeff, you go up there, jump off that. Right? Matthew, you're sure you do something very well too.
Matt with a bin on his head. There is nothing funny in wrestling than a man with a bin on his head. Like, just show me anything. There's nothing funny than a man with a bin on his head.
And the incapacitating power of the bin. Once it goes on, there is no way to get it off until a sharp blow has been received.
It's like it's a vacuum.
I don't make up the laws of physics, Pete. It just happens. I tell you what, we have got quickly time to do the last one, which is Intercontinental Champ JBL, John Bradshaw Layfield,
right? Okay,
versus Rey Mysterio.
Well, do you want to actually do a little bit more on Matt Hardy, because he really does hurt himself?
Do you know what? I'm slightly feeling for the fact that I did watch it and none of it went in.
There is a bit where Jeff Hardy jumps off the top ladder, like the highest ladder, onto his brother, and I don't know how his brother. The referee doesn't give him a single, certainly not a vocal one, and he rolls out the way at the last minute, and he lands full on his back. It's another really heavy bump.
I did see it,
out of the three, and I was like, "Fucking hell!" And also, just after that, when he's fucked, Matt Hardy smashes the bin away because it's in the sight. It's in the sight line of the cameras. Pro, fucking pro. I really enjoyed that. But
he is a pro.
Yeah,
and yet you know, I mean, I just feel like the cameramen are all like, you know, thanks, Matt, but can you just move so we can get Jeff? Because Jeff is exactly, very much the TV thing.
But Matt's just left out WWE this week, hasn't he?
He has, yes, yes. I think that's an interesting... there has never been a better time to leave WWE, really.
Because there is another big option.
There is an option, and probably for the first time for people of the level of Matt Hardy. Unless you want to go back to the indies and sort of, you know, you have to do a lot of your own PR stuff. But now there is the opportunity. I'm sure he'll be in AEW as we speak.
Dustin Rhodes has got a very funny tattoo on his neck at the moment.
Cody Rhodes.
Oh, it's a Cody Rhodes. Sorry, not Dustin Rhodes. Yeah, Cody
he's
Rhodes,
had his own brand, the Nightmare Family, put on. Someone did sort of point out that if you were like Triple H and you put your like Triple H logo on your neck, I mean, people would go, that is sort of pathetic. it's up to him. He seems like a better businessman than I am. What do I know?
His wife doesn't like it. I agree with her.
I think he is, you know, he's an exciting guy at the minute. I'm sure he will look back on that and go, it's like Undertaker Sara.
You know, yes, exactly. I'm going to have that
big hairdryer put on it. I did actually, the end of this match I saw, and there's a bit where sort of, you know, Jeff Hardy's head is in the chair and he does move on it and everything. Mm. And again, the audience react to it slightly, just going, "Oh, stop!" It's just weird. It's a funny dynamic. I'd say those brother versus brother things—they have notoriously been, and tag team partner versus tag team partner—they have notoriously been poor draws and bad matches.
Right.
And it's only like recently the Cody versus Dustin Rhodes, the AEW at their, I think it was their Double or Nothing pay per view.
Yeah.
I mean, that is match of last year for other people. And it's an unusual time when it's actually worked.
Is Goldust, Dustin Rhodes, is he now, is he still like a man, was he a lawman or something? He's a sheriff or something?
Well, no, that's in real life. He is a sort of, I think.
But is he still doing two jobs?
I don't know if he's quite a sheriff. He seems to be one of these people who's like a special, and it's that thing of, because if you live in Texas.
Oh, no, that's right.
He hangs around
with, now who's the actual person who's a politician?
Kane. Yeah.
He hangs around with them and he dresses up like a policeman quite a lot. I mean, but he doesn't.
That's weird, isn't it? They obviously live in these like places where there's 400 people over, you know, 9,000 miles.
Yeah. You want to be the community support officer? Does it give me a badge? Yes, it does.
Everyone gets a badge. Yeah. You know, and then he's on Twitter just going, just receive my badge. he is having, again, a career renaissance.
Yeah.
You cannot hold a good Rhodes down.
Love it.
We say it every time we talk about the Rhodeses, but again, I mean, last year he had his first ever Wrestling Observer rated 5-star match.
Right.
Now, Goldust has been around a long time.
Yeah.
Started in 1989.
Jiminy Cricket.
And in 2019, he has his first 5-star match.
I mean, like that.
In 20 years' time, he will be at his peak.
It just works slow.
I cannot wait.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, let's give him the sixth match.
Go on.
Remus, I mean, we could get it done in probably quicker time than the actual match
21
happened.
21 seconds.
Rey Mysterio defeating JBL, singles match for the WWE Intercontinental Championship. It lasts 20 seconds. It's very, very short.
This JBL, in the 20 seconds, every time he touches Rey Mysterio, he makes it fucking count. It's like he's trying to kick his bones out of his body, and it's just insane. You slightly see him and you go, are you reckless or are you a mad bully?
Yeah.
Or are you just really good at this?
Yeah.
I think it might be certainly the first two. He is good in this. He's found his character. He's suddenly looking a bit old.
Yeah.
And he looks a bit like, you know, when they sort of have Alan Partridge and they'll show him strung out on something, you know, like someone slipped something into his tea almost. I'm imagining that doesn't sound like it's been part of Partridge lore. But I can't quite picture it, but I'm sure there's something where Partridge looks exactly like JBL does.
He takes a pill.
His hair's gone a bit floppy.
In the back of
yes, exactly. Yeah. It could be that one.
Yeah.
But his hair's a bit too floppy and long, and he's gone a bit sort of thin and a bit sort of lippy. And he suddenly looks old. He had to retire.
Right.
So it came up on him very, very quickly. He had nerve damage in his back, and he just sort of said, there was one day I realised, I just can't do this anymore.
So this, and he announced that he was retiring after this match.
He did, yeah.
So this was his...
And this was not telegraphed in any way. Previous to this, he'd been involved in a long-running sort of storyline with Shawn Michaels that led up to the match with The Undertaker.
Right.
So he was right in the mix of it. But he just suddenly sort of went, nope, that's it. I am done.
Yeah.
He had a couple of other things. So he was doing well with his stock market investments. He'd been...
Is this kayfabe?
No, this is real. So he'd been doing a lot of stuff on Fox as a business analyst.
Gosh,
slightly,
he was.
His gimmick came out of the fact that they knew he was. He wrote a book about Wall Street,
right?
Sort of almost before he had the JBL gimmick, when he was still just Bradshaw,
right?
And they were sort of like, that's not a bad gimmick, and so it all. It all sort of, I mean, he couldn't make it any clearer as to the position he's in. That in, I think, 2005, he marries a woman called Meredith Whitney, and she was known as the Oracle of Wall Street by Bloomberg.
Right.
She successfully forecasted the difficulties of Citigroup and other banks during the financial crisis of 2007 and 8.
Wow.
So he's suddenly living in New York, and he's involved in the financial sector. So he's a bit like, I have no need to keep injuring my back.
No.
More importantly than that, he started the single best wrestler's company that ever existed, which is Layfield Energy. It was a energy drink company.
Oh, wow.
<It's> amazing. Three drinks, right? He had Mama Juana Extreme.
Mama Juana.
Mama Juana Energy is a sex drink. It is not an energy drink.
Right.
It's made with sexual enhancement herbs, such as Epimedium, which is also known as horny goat weed. What did JBL have to tell WWE.com about this product? This is virility, vitality in a bottle. We're going to have wives calling us ordering Mama Juana Energy for their husbands. There is nothing like this, and that's not exaggeration. That's not Don King hype. It's an alternative all-natural replacement for Cialis. He also added, it was available without a visit to a doctor or pharmacy, and the flavoured serum had received strictly positive feedback from every single male who sampled it, no matter their age, and I am among them, said JBL. A New York Times article said that it was marketing hocus pocus. John Layfield then had to go back after the New York Times thing, and he said, we never claimed to cure erectile dysfunction. That's not what Mama Juana is for. It is simply the hottest new product that Layfield Energy has out. It's to raise your libido, give you a great sex life. That's all it's for.
Stop saying
it's not meant to put a man on the moon. They had a couple of other drinks. 418 Energy, which was specifically an energy drink for golfers.
Why would you need that?
And Drank, which is the first anti-energy drink, which was for New Yorkers who need to calm down after a hectic day.
Purple Drank.
Let me tell you, the Layfield Energy website is no longer running.
Oh, I wonder when it went to the wall. Fantastic.
Oh, amazing, isn't it?
What had Rey Mysterio drank to dress up like Heath Ledger's the Joker for this little nonsense?
Rey Mysterio had hit his late teenage years. He was 16. And he was in a very, very dark place.
He was dressed like a goth, kind of leather daddy goth version of Heath Ledger's Joker.
I know, it's not a great look.
It was. He must have just, what's left?
Every WrestleMania, he's dressed as a superhero.
Right.
So The Flash he's done before.
Oh,
I think he's
right.
Been dressed as something blue. I can't remember. And the Joker, yeah. It's, but man, do you know what?
He was so bad.
I would love to
see. He had the little hair sticking out the top.
As soon as he puts the hair on, it's rubbish. He's wrestling at the moment with the hair on.
Right.
And it looks more natural in Mexico, where they have wrestlers with tufted masks. And
yeah.
People like Psycho Clown, they will have hair on their mask. But when you just see Ray coming out with it, I just look at it and I just go, it looks like Kimonito. It's just, there's something wrong. It doesn't work. Your hairy mask.
Too bright.
This mask is growing hair, sir. I need to return it.
That's Chris. It was actually Chris.
All I'm asking is that if Rey Mysterio retires, I'm sure he'll do it at WrestleMania.
Right.
I think it would only be fitting for him to pay tribute to his previous wins by dressing up as a Mama Juana can of LA Field energy drink.
Oh, man, that was good. Right, this has been Wrestle Me. We'll be back next week with more Wrestle Me, the final part of WrestleMania 25.
Until then, absolutely worth saying, if you do have any Layfield energy drinks lying around your house, new Ico Pro. And I should think, we're going to be checking our watches, I'm not quite sure, but
no.
We will probably be spiraling headlong into the opening weeks of the Wrestle Me Patreon.
Yes.
So if you would like extra content, you crazy kids, look, we are giving away Mama Juana drinks to every new page. Not strictly true. Do have a look at it. WrestleMe Patreon. Have a look on our Twitter. That'll tell you how to get there.
Yep.
And hey, we'll look forward to seeing you there.
Yeah. It's going to be launching first week of April. And we will let you know precisely where it is. Just check out the old WrestleMe Twitter. There's going to be extra content.
Yep. And energy drinks for golfers.
For those people who sort of go, oh, can you just do a bit more of it? A bit more of the show. Can I listen to all? Because I like to save all of the episodes up.
They're getting shorter as they go on.
Maybe you might like Wrestle Me Patreon's offering, because I'm excited about it / concerned about the workload. So get excited. It's going to be good. Gonna be good. Wrestle Me, Mark.
Wrestle Me, Pete.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.